But if I couldn't feel it, how would I know I have it?
Amen.
So it's great to be here this morning. If you got your Bible, I'm going to be in Genesis, beginning in chapter number 37. And if I were to read it all to you, I'd have to read chapter 37 through chapter number 45. So I'm not going to be able to do that this morning. So I want to begin by reading in chapter number 37. I'm going to read just the first five verses. And then we'll try to go through this and share with you what's on our heart this morning. This is something that I began to seek the Lord about what He would want us to do this morning. And this message is something that I've been studying on. And this is what I feel like God would want us to have. And I will tell you that it is important to me that I preach what God wants me to preach. And I know people have different opinion about that. I had a pastor tell me one time that if I was going to be a pastor, what I had to do was start at the front of the Bible and preach through the Bible. And when I got done, I had to start over and go back through it again in an expository fashion. And if I was doing anything other than that, then I wasn't right. And I believe, God don't call us the same, okay? Every preacher's deliverance is not the same, and I'll tell you, that's not the way the Lord calls me. What the Lord's done in my life is He deals with me in my heart, and I pray and I seek Him, and I believe He gives me what I'm supposed to preach when I come in here. I heard my dad say one time, my dad is, it is Father's Day, and I miss him, but he's with the Lord, and a lot of us here have our dads with the Lord. We have family members with the Lord, and one thing I'll say, as we get older, I realize how short life is, right? It's going to be a short period of time that we'll all be in eternity with our Lord. But I remember my dad told me, he said, "Son, there is a message, and there's the message. And you want to preach the message that God wants for the hour." And that's very important to me, and I want you to know that I try to do that I seek God's will. What I've got for you this morning is something that I've actually not preached on before, but I have taught on it about 4 years ago. Not long after I'd come to the church, I taught on this either a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. And what it's about, here's the title, is How Joseph Retained His Integrity. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at the Bible and thought about this, but who is your favorite Bible character? Well, there are two that really stick out to me that I really think a lot of. And if I could say, I want to be like these are the ones. One of them is Joseph in the Old Testament, and the other is Daniel. But when you look at them and you look at their lives, I'll give you something to understand about both of them. Even though Joseph eventually was elevated, Joseph spent his life in captivity. So did Daniel. So if you begin to think about it, and I thought, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Daniel. Do I want to be in captivity? And here's what the answer to that. I tell you where you want to be. You want to be where God wants you. And if you're not where God wants you, and I want to be sensitive enough to the Spirit that I'll pay attention to that. I was talking to my wife this morning. I mentioned to one of our deacons this morning. I want to be where God wants me to be. Doesn't mean you're always going to be happy with your circumstances. Doesn't mean you're going to always be happy with your situation. But there's no better place to be than where God wants you to be. And if you look at this story, and we're going to start in this 32nd chapter, you're going to see some times in Joseph's life where he was in a place he probably did not want to be at all. But he was in the right place because he was where God wanted him to be. I want to preach on how Joseph retained his integrity, and you think about it. Why I want to be like Joseph. Let's go to the 37th chapter and read the first five verses rather than five chapters, okay? It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father had loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, I want to stop there because I can't read 37th to the 45th chapter. And I want to go through just a few minutes about the facts of Joseph's life. Because Joseph's life consisted of a number of tests, one right after the another. You know, sometimes we don't like that. It's almost like, you know, you're in the middle of a storm or a circumstance and you pray that God would come and all of a sudden God moves and what happens? You find yourself right in the middle of another one. You know, the Bible says in one place, there is no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. And with that temptation, there's also been made a way of escape. And we understand as Christians that that way of escape is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Joseph is here, 17 years old, and God begins to give Joseph dreams. The first dream that he dreams, and he goes and he tells it to his brethren, is that they're binding sheaves. And as he's binding sheaves of corn, and his brethren are there, 11 brothers, that when he binds his sheave and they bind theirs, their sheave bows down to his sheave and pays obeisance unto it. The next dream that he has, he dreams that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down and paying obeisance unto him, or honoring him. Now these brothers, they already despise him because he is the son of their father's old age. Now you know, here's something I say to young people, and I've always said this to my kids. You know how sometimes it is with raising children? I just tell them, act your age, okay? I honestly do not expect my 13-year-old to act 18. But I don't want my 18-year-old to act 13. And I was talking to my father-in-law about that one time, and he said, well, you know, it's kind of like this. When they're 15 years old, they're half 10 and half 20, and some days they act 10, some days they act 20. Now, if you look at this situation, there are 12 of them, okay? And surely, we know, if you know the story of Jacob, he had two wives, and the one that came along later in his life and was able to raise two children to that one, how much he loved them. But I want to tell you something. There's a place in our life, and I got to say this, and I got to move on, to where we ought to have enough wisdom and understanding to see how that we ought to act based upon the age that we're at. Rather than being the instigator of a problem, Judah, being the elder, should have been the one that gave some direction, okay? There's so much in this story, I'll never be able to cover it all, but I want to get through a little bit of the history of his life and understand, you to understand where we're at and how Joseph got to this place. So God gave him these dreams. His brethren, they hate him the more, and his father sends him out to where they're at to go check on him, and they've moved, and as he comes, they see him coming, and they say, we're going to inspire, we're going to kill him, and we're going to take him, we're going to be rid of this dreamer, we're going to be rid of this problem. But one of them speaks up, and he says, no, let's don't kill him, let's take him, let's put him down in this pit. They put him down in the pit, and while he's gone, they actually pull Joseph up, and they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites, and they carry him down to Egypt. So here's the first of Joseph's tests when he's in the pit. If you go on and read a little farther in these chapters, it talks about how he pleads with his brethren that they would not treat him this way. Now these are his brothers. They put him down in this pit, they sell him. Well, when he gets down to Egypt, it seems like he gets a break because he's bought by a man named Potiphar, who is captain of the guard, who has a fine home and a fine place. And here's what I like about Joseph. The Bible says that everything that he did, God blessed it. Everything he touched, God blessed it. Now let me just give you a little lesson right here. And this is what I want for my life. I had much rather have God put his hand on my life and what I do than me to depend on myself and what I can do. Okay? I can't do it myself. I can't make it myself. But when God decides to bless you and he says, no matter where you go, I'm going to bless you, I want to tell you something. That is why you want to be where God wants you to be. So here he is in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar is so blessed because Joseph is in his house that Potiphar eventually just says, well, here, you just take everything. You run my business, you run everything. But he held back one thing. Held back his wife. Now, if you know the story, you know what kind of problems that Joseph had in the house, because he was a young, strapping, good-looking young man. And every time he came in the house, what did Potiphar's wife do? She said, come here, sweetheart. But Joseph said, uh-uh. Finally, She caught him by his garment when they were there alone. And what happened? He ran out. And when he ran from her, she held his coat in his hand, plotted against him. And what's the next test for Joseph? He's tested in prison. See, he's tested in the pit. He's tested in Potiphar's house. Now he's tested in a prison. Now, you know, we want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but I don't want to go to jail for doing the right thing. Okay? Usually when people go to jail, it's because they've done something wrong. But can I tell you, Joseph's not the first one to go to prison because he did right. There's some people in jail, and you can study it. You can study the Word of God. You can study history. You can study about the writing of the Scripture and the canon of the Word of God and the people who struggled so that you and I could have an opportunity to be in a house like this morning and worship God. Some of them went to jail for doing the right thing. Well, he's tested in prison. Well, you know what happens in prison? Same thing happens in Potiphar's house. God opens the doors of heaven. And he pours a blessing out on him so much so that the captain of the guard there in prison, he just puts the people under Joseph's hand. He trusts him. He believes in him and he looks at him. Can you have integrity in prison? Can you make an impact? Yes, people do it every day. There are people, Brother Tom, in prison right now that were in there because they were guilty and they done wrong. But God has saved their soul and they have a ministry. And even though they'll never be outside of those doors, they're doing work for God. Even Paul, when he was in prison, what did he say? I am the Lord's prisoner, he said. Can I tell you that Joseph was the Lord's prisoner? Yeah. Well, eventually there was a baker and there was a butler and they had dreams. And because Joseph had been anointed by God, he had the hand of God on him, they talked about their dreams and he interpreted their dreams and he told the butler, he said, you're going to be restored to Pharaoh, and you're going to be able to serve at his hand. Would you remember me when you stand before Pharaoh? And even though God's hand was on Joseph, none of us want to be in a prison. None of us want to be oppressed, and none of us want to be in a place to where we're not free. He's just like you and me, just a man. He wanted out. But you know, for 2 years, he was forgotten. You ever felt like you were forgotten? You ever felt like you were doing the right thing and still just things just can't go right for you? Things won't go right. Can you imagine how difficult it was for Joseph at this time after he interpreted the butler's dream and he knew he was forgotten about and he sat there in the prison? You know how the enemy comes against you when it's like that? Here's what he's going to say. You might as well just quit. Look what doing right has done for you. But that's where Joseph was at. He was tested in the prison. But it's not too long till Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler, he stands before Pharaoh as Pharaoh is troubled. Pharaoh has had two dreams that are very similar. And the butler says, I realize my wrong. And he mentions Joseph and they call Joseph up. And Joseph interprets the dreams of Pharaoh. And in one of the dreams, it's like this. He sees seven fat cows coming up out of the river. Just big, healthy, fat cows. And they come up out of the river and they're grazing. And all of a sudden he looks and here comes seven other cows or kine up out of the river. And they're just like bones with skin over them. And those skinny cows, they come up and they actually devour the fat cows. But when they devour him, the scripture says that you could not look at them and even tell they had eaten anything. It was a dream. You ever had those? What does this mean? I want God to show me. I want God to teach me. Pharaoh is so troubled, he calls and Joseph comes in and he tells him, he said, the two dreams that you have, they're the same, but the reason you had two dreams that are similar is because this is severe. And he interprets the dream and he said there's going to be 7 years of plenty and there's going to be 7 years of famine. And the famine is going to be so bad that after a short period of time, they're going to forget how good it was when it was good. Well, I began to read that and I thought, Lord, am I paying attention when it's good? You ever think about that? Am I paying attention, God, when it's good? Well, here you see a man who's thrown into the pit and tested. He's thrown into Potiphar's house and tested. Now he's thrown into the prison and tested. But I'll tell you, the greatest test is not when you're in the prison, but it's when you're in the palace. Adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters. But what does Joseph do? He continues. And the last test is in the presence of those who wronged him. You see, if you know the story, you know that eventually the famine gets so bad that it goes into the land of Canaan where his family is at, the land of Israel. And it gets just so bad that they have to come down to Egypt because they hear there's corn there. And here's Joseph. And here's 10 of his brothers bowed before him. And he remembers that dream. Now, eventually, you know the story. He is restored to his brothers. And he tells them, God has sent me here before you to save you alive. Now, I've said this before, and this is the introduction. I'm going to get into the message in just a minute. But if you know and understand, it's not really about Joseph. Remember, it was from the tribe of Judah that Jesus is to come. See, God had a plan all along that he was going to save his people, and he sent Joseph before him. Now, here's the message this morning, and here's what I want to get to, and here's what I want you to understand. How Joseph retained his integrity. You see, what I want you to understand about Joseph, and I've got to get into it, and you'll begin to see this. I want you to see the things that Joseph did not have. He was 17 years old when he is taken and sold to the Ishmaelites. When he's sold to the Ishmaelites at 17 years old, immediately he is taken to a foreign land where he does not have this. He has absolutely no close family support. There's nobody there to talk to him. There's no mentor. His dad is not available for him to go to. I can remember the times when I was troubled as a young preacher. I'd go to my dad and we'd just sit out on the front porch and I'd talk to him. And sometimes he'd just give me the words of wisdom. He didn't have every answer, but I tell you what he did have. He had a heart for God. He cared for God. And he spoke to me and he spoke words that helped me. Can I tell you that Joseph did not have that? He had no family support. His mother was already gone. She died when he was very young. He was hated by his brothers. His father actually at this time thought that he was dead. You see, they took the coat of many colors and they killed a kid and they dipped the coat in the blood and they took it to the father. And the father said, well, surely a wild animal hath devoured my son. So what did he not have? He didn't have close family support. And I want to tell you something that he didn't have also, and this is very important, church. He had no church family. You know, I believe we ought to love one another. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to help one another when we're down. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also... See, the last thing we want to do is shoot our wounded. We want to love them. We want to help them. We want to bring them back. We want to restore them and see them restored to the family of God. But what about if you're sold into slavery and you're down in Egypt and you look around and you're in a land of pagan gods? There's not a Baptist church in the country. No church family. 17 years old with no youth group. No pastor. No Sunday school teacher, no Christian radio. Sometimes that helps me. I got a tape by a group called Selah. And there's a song on there. Sometimes, Brother Tommy, I just put that song on repeat. And I'm feeling the Lord. I want to tell you, about that time, you know, I drive a long way from work. Sometimes I need this. About the time it plays the seventh or eighth time, it's just me and God. I just thank the Lord. He knows where the stop signs are. No CDs or tapes to listen to. No Christian bookstores. Nobody. Nobody. He was alone, and he stood alone. So how, if you really look at this, at 17 years old, how did Joseph retain his integrity? Here's what he did have, and here's what I want to share with you. This is very, very important. This is important for you and I, and this is something that we need to have. Young people, it's something that you need to have. You know, that song that Maddie sang just a minute ago, I Don't Want to Grow Up. I wish I could go back, Brother Billy. Sometimes I wish I could go back to just running in and out of the house, smelling the food, cooking. You know, you get upset about something, you just go climb up in your mama or your daddy's lap and let them rock you. There's been a few times I've come home from work and I've said, Kendra, would you rock me? There's things about growing up I don't like, but I want to tell you something. If you're going to make it through this world, you need this right here. Here's what he had. He had a heart that was aware of and sensitive to the things of God. Right here. You know, a lot of times what people got, they got it on the peripheral. We need to get it inside of us. It was inside of Joseph. And even though he was in a foreign land, even though he was tested in the pit, he was tested in Potiphar's house, he was tested in prison, he was tested in the palace, and he was even tested in the presence of those who had wronged him, he had something inside of him that was real, and it stuck. It stuck. Here's what he had. He had a relationship with God. See, he knew God. And he knew the God of his father. That's important. You see, what's the greatest thing that a father can leave his children? The legacy that he knew the Lord and he led them to the Lord. Nothing more important than that. Sometimes we begin to think about, well, what am I going to leave them when I've gone? I've talked to my wife about this. I'd love to be able to know that I could pay my children a down payment on a house, every one of them. I'd love to be able to buy them their first vehicle. I'd love to be able to get them their first living room suit or whatever it is. All those things that we want to do. But I want to tell you the greatest thing you can give your children is the legacy that you know God. Amen. And that you've taught them about God. See, Joseph had a relationship with God. He knew the God of his father. Here's what else he's had. He had a recognition of sin. You see, he had been taught the right things, and the right things were in him, and he had a conscience that was sensitive to the Spirit of God. See, does your conscience convict you? Has it stuck? Here's something else that he had, and I think this is very important. He had a realization of danger. You see, as Christians, the Bible tells us that we should give no place to the devil. And I want to stop right here for just a minute. I want to tell you something. We're here this morning because of the grace of God. If you see somebody in trouble and you say, well, I'm just glad that's not me. Rather than saying that, say this. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. He had a realization of danger and he knew when to run. I'll tell you something, young men, young ladies, every person in this house, you need to know when to run. There are going to be times in your Christian life and your Christian walk where you're going to be faced with circumstances and you say, well, I'm a Christian, it ain't going to impact me. Just hang around too long, it will. Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says this, it says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord with a pure heart. You see, here's Joseph, and I actually heard a preacher telling me, he said he was preaching on this subject, on Joseph, to his youth group, and he said, we got to the point where Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and he said, it got to the point every day, what happens? Now, let's just be real. He's 17, 18 years old by this time. He's away from everybody and everything. But what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas, if you're a Christian, folks. What happens in Egypt does not stay in Egypt. He's down there, and some people, I heard this man say, he said, a preacher said, you know, he was preaching, the youth came up to him. He said, I tell you what I'd have done, I'd have just done it. After all, he's down there, he's rejected by everybody. Does God really care about him? Look what God's done in his life. I want to tell you something, everybody in here needs to know when to run. If you don't know when to run, I don't care how spiritual you are, I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. One day you're going to find yourself in a circumstance and you're going to look around and you're going to find a place to bury your face and there ain't going to be no place to bury it because you didn't run when you had the opportunity to run. You need to know when to run. There's some people I'm not going to hang around. There's some things I'm not going to do. It's not because I'm the pastor. It's because I got better sense. Yes. Amen. You got to know when to run. See, he had a realization of danger. What else did he have? He had a resolve to drive him onward. Sometimes it's heavy, isn't it? Sometimes life brings challenges to us and we're dealing with circumstances and I don't like them. I told my wife, I said, I'll tell you. And she said, she just looked at me and she laughed when I told her this morning. She said, well, you just got all kinds of things you're dealing with. I thought I'd get a little more sympathy. You ever felt like, God, where are you at? God, I don't like my circumstances. God, I don't like what I'm going through. Lord, look how people have treated me. Look where I'm at. I tried to do the right thing. I've been thrown aside. Why am I in prison for doing the right thing? Why didn't they remember me when I helped them? But you got to have a resolve to drive on. You got to have a resolve to do what's right with God regardless of what other people do. We're not doing what we do for others. We're not doing it for recognition. We're not doing it to have our name and likes. But one day we're all going to stand before the Lord. And here's what I want to hear him say. Enter in to the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes, amen.
I want to finish strong. Sometimes you got to just get a hold, as I've heard it said, the horns of the altar and hang on. I can just about see Joseph sometimes. You know, this is a good story about him. But don't you know there were probably nights in that prison where he got down on his face and he cried out to God and he just had to hang on. There's not a person in this house this morning that at some point in your life you didn't just have to hang on. There's not a daddy here trying to do the right thing when you didn't go through circumstances, whether it be through a job, whether it be through trying to have the relationship right in your home, trying to raise children. Sometimes they won't do anything you say, that you just got to realize, I just got to hang on and I just got to trust God because if I'm ever going to get up out of this pit or ever out of this prison, God's going to be the one that delivers me. He had a resolve to drive onward. In other words, he didn't quit when things did not go his way. And here's something you never find him doing. He never blamed God. And he never fell away from God. Another thing he had a recollection of the truth. You know, sometimes in our life we go through things and we got to remember where God brought us from. He did not compromise, although he was in bondage in a strange land, and he did not run to false gods when he was in a strange land. You know, we read the Bible stories, and there are other characters, and we see failures in their life, but, you know, Joseph is here. I'll tell you why I want to be like Joseph. He's down there in the middle of it, and he's seeing all these temples, and they're worshiping all these gods, and he needs help, and he's in prison, and he's saying, "Where is my God at?" But he never went to another god. I want to tell you something. You may not find yourself in prison, but you might find yourself in a college classroom with a liberal professor. I've been there. I've been in there where you say anything about God and it's funny. I can remember I took a public speaking class. I took it on, I knew I had to have it, but I enjoyed that. But, you know, God gave me an opportunity to speak. People are not always going to believe what you believe. They're not going to agree with you. They may make fun of you. It may be tough at school. It may be tough at work. And you wonder, why, God, why don't you give me a job where I can just work around Christians all the time? Maybe because you're the only light that will ever be shined in that darkness. I've been persecuted. I've been ridiculed. I've been made fun of. I remember the scripture over there where the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, "Be not dismayed, lest I confound thee before them." You just got to stand. And if you're going to witness to somebody, I tell you how you do it. You earn it. I've seen people try to tell people about how they believe and how they ought to live, and I've actually had to counsel with some of them, and this is the way it is right here. You got to have something that somebody else is going to want. If you don't, how are you going to convince them of anything? Here's what I like about Joseph. When people looked to him, they said, I want to be like Joseph. You know, when he was brought up and he was put in the palace, here's what Pharaoh said. He said, I'm going to put everything in your hand. Only I will be stronger than you in the kingdom. You know what he told everybody? He said, whatever Joseph tells y'all, you listen. Because God's got his hand on this man. Holy Spirit's on this man. And he's going to tell you what to do. Now you do it. And for 7 years, they took that corn, and it got to the point there was so much corn coming in, they didn't even count it anymore. They just stored it. And when it started to get bad, you know what people were doing? They were knocking on Joseph's door. And because of the wisdom that God had given him, because he was faithful, because he stood strong in the midst of trial, you know what they were able to do? They were able to feed their children. They were able to give their children, not only in the land of Egypt, but in the land around about. When people would come, they would come from foreign lands, and they were able to give them food. It was because somebody listened and somebody stood strong. He had another thing that Joseph did. He had to rely on God to bring him out of bondage. I don't like the idea of some of the things I read in the story. I don't. I mean, I say I want to be like Joseph. Sometimes the more I read it, I say, well, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. You ever had God put you in a place and you wonder why in the world things are going the way they are in your life? I have. I said, God, where are you? I just don't seem like you're here. Sometimes the place God has you is not the place you want to be, but it may be where you need to be right now. You see, sometimes God has to put us in a place that he can teach us and he can show us and we can learn. And if we're ever going to be delivered, God has to be the one to do it. I can't do it myself. And we see that in the life of Joseph. But here's what finally happened. He was rewarded for his integrity. Remember, he became the second in command in Pharaoh's house, and he was given the privilege of saving his family. Now, if you stop and think about it just a minute, I've seen this happen. They come walking in the door, and here's Joseph, and they have to bow before him, and he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. You know what some people do? I got you now. I'm going to get you back. Let me tell you the greatest thing that you'll get to do is forgive somebody. Forgive somebody. They ain't always got to ask you. It's a privilege. And I'll tell you what the greatest thing that I want to see in the house of God, in the family of God, in my own family, is simply see people walking where God wants them to walk. Even if they've offended me, even if they've talked about me, even if they've done me wrong, when they're restored and their home and their life is restored, you think I'm going to be right with God and if I walk away and gloat about the trouble that they're in? What Joseph could have done is, yeah, I told you, boys. You see, you're bowing before me just like my dream said. But I'll tell you what he did. When he was dealing with them, it got to the point a couple of times he had to turn his face. He had to hide his face and run out of the room because he was crying. Had to wash his face to come back in. And when they came back to him and they brought his younger brother and he set a portion before him, here's what he did. He set them in order of their birthright, their age. They were marveling. And then the youngest there, he set five times before him. And you know what he did finally? He broke. Let me tell you something, men, fathers. There's nothing wrong with a father crying. His heart broke and he cried before them. And they were afraid when he said, I'm Joseph. But you know what he did? He said, y'all come here. He put his arms around them and he got them close to him and he loved them. And he said, I want you to go get your daddy. I want you to go get all your children. and I want you to bring them. We're going to put you over here in the land of Goshen. He said, I'm going to make sure that you got everything you need. I'm going to make sure that you got food. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And he stopped him. He said, don't be upset with yourselves. See, they knew they were wrong. They thought that God was punishing them because of what they did. He said, I want you to understand something. We don't always understand God. We don't always understand everything that God's doing. But here's what happened. God sent me before you to preserve your life. Because God knew what he was going to do. God knew. God had a plan. And I don't want you to be upset about this anymore. Can I tell you something, fathers? Can I tell you something, families? If you get the opportunity, forgive one another. And recognize that this life is temporal. We're only here for a short period of time. And if we look at how Joseph retained his integrity, I'll tell you exactly how he did it. Because he had a right relationship with God. Can't have it any other way. I want to ask Miss Maddie if she would to come. Get ready to sing a song, Thy Will Be Done. I like this, but I don't.